think of a better thing to be than being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus and being made whole and pure and glorified by Him. Amen. We got something. You know, we talked last week in our Wednesday night as we were studying about blessed hope and the glorious appearing. So, man, if they nothing else make you excited, that ought to. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles again, if you would, this evening. Let's look in the book of Titus. We're still working our way through the things in the book of Titus and looking at that, just three chapters. Man, there's not much to it. We're already in chapter number 3. We're headed towards the end of it, but it'll still take us a little bit of time to get there, okay?
So, well, you hang with us and enjoy it and be blessed by the things that the Lord's trying to show us. So we're looking tonight at Titus chapter number 3, and we're going to look at the first three verses, and we are just kind of getting started into that chapter, and we'll call it the truth in remembrance. You know, we're calling this some foundational truths that you find throughout the this little three-chapter book, and the truth is that Titus has been charged by the Apostle Paul. He is telling him, he said, here's stuff that people need to know that are in that church. Well, you know what I think we all need to know it no matter what church we're in. Amen. If we're in this church, if we're in the church down the road, any church in the United States, any church that may even be across the world, we still need to hear those foundational truths because they are the things that will help us. They are the things that will build us. They are the things that will encourage us and lead us forward as we try to tell others about the good news, the great story of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, look here if you will with me in chapter number 3. And Paul is continuing as he has given him, he said, you know, looking what grace has done. If you start in verse number 11, we worked our way on down through there about the things that grace did. But look what he says in verse number 1 of chapter number 3. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for the good blessings of the day. Thank you for everything that you have done. And I pray again, you just bless all those. There's many tonight not able to be with us due to sickness, and they just need the touch of God, and I pray you'd help them. You know where they are, and you know their needs, and we'll just thank you for meeting those. But I pray again, you just bless us as we get in the Word, and I pray you'd just help us to hear from you and to understand what we're to do. And what kind of Christian, what kind of Christian with a testimony we're to have toward this world. And again, we'll just simply thank you. We'll just simply praise you for everything you're doing. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, we're going to call this truth in remembrance. The truth in our remembrance. And you see what Paul says here in verse number 1. He said, put them in mind. Put them in mind. In other words, Paul is saying, look, help them remember, right? Isn't that what he's saying? Help somebody to remember something. Why is that? Well, apparently, you and I need a lot of reminding, don't we? I mean, if you'll think about it, we sure do need reminding very often. You remember what we say as we look at events that have happened in our world and in our time and maybe a little bit before our time, but you'll hear people come up with phrases such as, remember Pearl Harbor. Amen? Now, I don't know if there's anybody in here that can remember Pearl Harbor if we're that old, but if you're a student of history, You know what that means. That was the day that there was an attack on Pearl Harbor base there in Hawaii when the Japanese came in and attacked our military base, and that got us involved in World War II. And, you know, the president got on the radio, I guess it was really at that time more than anything, and he said, "This is a day that'll live in infamy." And there were people that said, "We'll never forget." And they walked around, and whenever anybody'd say something about, you know, how the war's going, somebody'd say, "Remember Pearl Harbor." Why? Because we had some men that were lost. We had some ships that were sunk. We had people that were attacked. And we're not going to forget that. And you know what they did? Every year they'd have a little memorial service on December the 7th so that we could remember Pearl Harbor. Well, more recently in our times, 9/11. 2001. Now, there's something most of us probably in here can relate to. I mean, you can sit down with people sometime and say, "Well, tell me what happened, where you were when those events happened on that September the 11th in 2001. And a lot of us can remember. I mean, I can certainly remember where I was, and I can remember all the things happening. And, you know, they came out with the banners, and they came out with the flags, and they came out with the little bumper stickers. And you know what it said? Never forget. Amen? Never. We will never forget. I mean, can I tell you, it seems like sometimes we do forget, though, don't we? We do forget. We have a tendency to forget things. We have a tendency to need to be reminded. And whether it's a good thing or whether it's a bad event that happened, we need some kind of reminder to keep us on course or keep that thing in our memory. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul says, put them in mind. Get their minds to thinking this way. Peter said, he said, "These things I write unto you, in the which I stir up your pure minds." He said, I'm here to kind of stir up some things of your remembrance. Every one of us needs to be reminded. You know, there's people, a lot of times they'll say, "Well, all you preachers do is you get up there and you preach on the same thing." You know why? Because we need reminding sometimes. We do. We need those reminders about sin. We need those reminders about right living. We need our reminders to read your Bible, to pray, to witness. I mean, we need those reminders. And I'm just like you. I need them. Every one of us in this room, we need those reminders. So Paul starts this out and says, look, put them in mind. But the subject that Paul covers is something that apparently they needed in that day, in that area. And there's probably a lot of reasons for it. And again, I think it's good for me and you to be put in remembrance of these things. But let's look at them, if you will. And let's talk about what Paul really is saying. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to be subject to the powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be not no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And then he goes in and he says, for we once were, and he tells us what we were. Amen? So there's a lot of reminding that comes in all of this. And the reminder is something about your and my behavior. Your behavior or our behavior. The way that we are to behave. That's what Paul is saying. Yes, listen, tell them this again. Remind them. Put them in mind. Remember these things. Brother, there's a lot of things you and I need to be told to remember. Remember you're saved. Amen. Remember, he's forgiven you of your sin. Remember, your blood washed. Remember, your name's written down in heaven. Amen. I'm just telling you, there's some good things that you and I need to remember. But Paul says, look, here's some things that you need to refresh and stir their minds up to. Your behavior. Now, your behavior, after that you get converted to belief in Christ, your behavior should be an evidence of some certain things. And Paul says maybe three things here, and we'll kind of look at them that way. First of all, your behavior should be a testimony and a good evidence of being a good citizen in this country. You ought to be a good citizen. Amen. I mean, I don't know very many people. I can't even think of anybody that doesn't want to be a good citizen of the United States. I mean, really. I love our country. I'm glad I'm here, y'all. I don't tell y'all, so a lot of them get on TV and they say, we're leaving the country because of who's president. Go ahead and buy, y'all. I like it here. Amen? And a matter of fact, let me lay this out for you. A lot of those folks that'll tell you that, they're still here. They're still enjoying the blessings. They're still enjoying the financial benefits. They're still enjoying all the goodness that there is. Now, I know this country ain't what it used to be, and it's not what you and I want it to be, but can I tell you, I'd still rather be here than about anywhere else I can think of. Amen? So I want to be a good citizen. It's good of a citizen and a testimony as a Christian in my good citizenship. But not only that, I believe our salvation, our conversion, believing in Christ, it should be the evidence of not only being a good citizen, we ought to show up and be a good neighbor too. You ought to love your neighbor. Amen? Them people that live around you that need your help or that's got something going on, be a good neighbor. Amen? You don't even have to have State Farm insurance. Amen? Just be a good neighbor. Be a good neighbor. But not only that, hey, your conversion ought to in some way reflect. It should be an evidence of a reflection of how great it is to be saved. Amen? Just of how good it is to be saved by the good grace of God. Amen? The York family sings this song, and Sister Faith York wrote it, and the title of it, It's Good to Be Saved. Amen? Hey, can I tell you, it's good to be saved. It's a grand and glorious feeling, another songwriter said, just to be a child of God. Thank God, aren't you glad? Hey, he'll save you, and he'll make you somebody that's fit and ready to go to heaven. Amen. And listen, that's what this thing's about. He says, remember now. Remember, first of all, let's talk about you ought to remember your behavior because of where you and I live, where we live. I mean, let's remember, and you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? But, well, listen to what he said. He said, put them in mind, listen, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. Amen? He said, you ought to remember your behavior. You ought to remember to behave, if you will, because of the place where you live. Now, God, and I'm talking about really in this world. You live in this world. You live. You and I live in the United States of America. You and I live in the state of Georgia. You and I live in this northwest corner. But through all of that, however you want to look it up and dice it up and slice it up, hey, the place where we live, first of all, I want you to realize there are some laws, and God directs and commands us to be obedient to the law. Amen? Shake your head a little bit, right? I mean, we're supposed to obey the law. Now, I can tell y'all, probably on the way over here tonight, some of y'all might have broke the deal. Amen? I mean, you might have messed up. Well, I mean, hey, I know. I get out there on the road too. And they can't none of y'all drive. Amen? I just barely can, and I'm doing better. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, that's the way we feel sometimes, right? But I'm telling you, that little lady over there, I'll be driving on. She'll say, how fast you going? I'll say, well, I'm going, you know, whatever. She said, you probably ought to slow down. Well, why? Well, they'll write you a ticket if you don't. Oh, okay, that's a pretty good idea. In other words, there are some laws to living in this land. Do you know I can't come over to your house and just come over and take anything I want? There's some laws against that. Amen? I mean, I can't just go out here and just say, you know, I don't like how you look. Just slap somebody in the face. Just punch them. Knock them out. There's some laws against some of those kind of things. There are laws. And listen, Paul says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. And when he says principalities and powers, that means that you are supposed to be in a law-abiding person as far as the principalities and the powers of this community, of this state, of this nation. As far as those things go, you're supposed to live in a behaved way that honors those laws. Amen? You know, somebody said, one of those policemen, tell you sometime, them little signs out there on the side of the highway, they're not suggestions. When it says speed limit is, 40 miles an hour, that's not a suggestion. That means if you go beyond it, you're breaking the law, right? Amen. Shake your head, because you've been there and done that, right? I mean, there's just laws. And there's a lot of them I don't agree with, I don't like, and sometimes, we think we're above them, right? Don't y'all think you're above some of those laws? I mean, isn't that what you say? I don't have to pay no attention to that. Well, you don't pay attention to it. They'll write you a little love letter sometimes. And you'll get to go pay a fine or go stand before a judge or some of these things going on. When I was a student down in Atlanta, Georgia, there was a road we're coming to that I wasn't really familiar with. And it's over on the northeast side. But anyway, I was over in that area, and I got up to the end of the road, and I was watching traffic, And, you got to be blind. But there was a sign out there that said, no left turn. That's what the sign said. You know what that means? You can't go that way. Well, they were doing construction. Imagine that, around Atlanta doing construction. But anyway, they were doing some construction on this road, and I pulled up. And there's two or three cars in front of me. And two cars in front of me, turn left. And car in front of me, turn left. And I said, well, hallelujah. They don't mean that, apparently. So Brother Steve turns left. And it wasn't 2 minutes till there was some blue lights in my rear view mirror. And I pulled over, and this policeman came up to me, and he said, didn't you see that sign? I said, yes, sir, but... those cars in front of me, they turned left. He said, I didn't catch them. I caught you. And I said, well, that don't seem fair to me. He said, well, it might not seem fair to you, but it said what? No left turn. What'd you do? I turned left. He said, so I'm writing you a ticket. So I'm over there, telling him my side of the story and where he's writing out. He said, you go down and talk to the judge, and maybe there'll be, some reprieve or whatever it is. So I get my day in court. I'm going down to the courthouse. So I go down, and, they ask you those questions. Everybody in here, that it was court date where all the traffic offenders were. Anybody here has got, guilty or not guilty or whatever. And guilty with circumstance. Buddy, I jumped. I said, I'm not guilty with circumstances or whatever it is. I got an excuse. So everybody else got through with their little turn. He said, come on up here. I went up there and I started telling my little story, and he just started grinning. And he said, what did the sign say? I said, it said no left turn. I said, but these other people, he said, you know what? That really doesn't matter what those other people did, because you were the one that got caught. They might have done it too. He said, maybe they should have got a ticket. They didn't, but you did. And he looked at me. He talked on a little bit. He said, how long have you been driving? I said, man, I've been driving a long time. I think 3 or 4 years now. I mean, just an eternity of driving. And he laughed at that. He thought that was funny that I wasn't. Of course, I was 20 years old, 19, whatever it was. And he said, well, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you so much off of this ticket for every year that you've been driving without any other incidences. So, I got a reduced fine. But guess what? Old Brother Steve had to pay the ticket. Amen. Why? Because that was the law. That was the law. And you know what? There are consequences when you break the law. Whether you like them, whether you think they're right, whether you're all in favor, whatever it is, it don't matter. The law is the law. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. Can I tell you, law still applies whether you're a Christian or not. There are, Paul said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers. So there are laws. Not only are there laws, God has given us leaders. Now, again, you might not like the leader. You might not have voted for the leader. You might not be in agreement with the leader. But guess what? The leader is still the leader. Amen? I mean, the Bible still tells me and you that we are to honor those that are in places of authority over us. We're to show respect. As a matter of fact, Paul has a whole long list of things that he mentions in his writing to Timothy, and he talks about how that we are to obey the rule of the law of the land and to pray for those that have been put in the place of authority. Amen? You're supposed to be prayerful for them. I'm going to tell y'all something. There's been some guys that's been put into political office, and guess what? I didn't like them, and I didn't agree with them. And you know what I did? I didn't like everybody. I moaned and griped and carried on and fussed and fumed and done all that stuff like everybody else does. But then one day God told me, he said, what are you doing? I said, I don't like it. He said, well, guess what? They're there. He said, you know what you're supposed to be doing? Yeah. I'm supposed to be praying for them. Amen? That's our obligation toward that situation. My Bible tells me, and your Bible will tell you also, that God puts kings in and God takes kings down. God puts people in places of authority. God has his agenda for leaders. And you and I need to just get in line with that and realize sometimes, brother, God's got them there. You and I might not agree. We might not. And there have been a lot of guys. I want to tell you something. Hey, God still says, pray for them, pray for them, and pray for them. Amen? I mean, in this day that they lived, Nero was the head of the Roman Empire. And nobody seemed to get along with Nero very well. He'd have you killed just like that. He was persecuting Christians. He was having them killed. He was having them fed to the lions. And you know what? Paul has the audacity to say, you ought to pray for those that God has put into the positions of leadership. Amen? You know what you need to do sometimes? Like I did a lot. I pray they get saved. Amen? I pray that God move on their life. I pray that God would speak to their heart. I pray that God would do some things to them that would be a blessing, and they couldn't even realize why they did it sometimes. Do you know there's biblical examples of that? I mean, there's Daniel that went in and stood before the king, and the king wanted to kill him and wanted to kill all them Hebrew boys. But you know what happened? When God came on the scene, brought them through the things that they were brought through, the king said, wait a minute, we all going to serve the God that they serve. Amen. Amen? So sometimes there is some sense and some logic and some reason behind what God does. There are leaders, there are laws, and then I want to tell you this more than anything, it's because it's all of the Lord. The Lord is the one that has established. The Lord is the one that has got this. You know, in that very last verse it said, he said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. In chapter number 2, verse 15, he said, let no man despise thee. He said, you do it with authority. You do it with speaking and exhorting and rebuking. Do it with an authority. Whose authority is? All of the authority comes from the Lord. Amen? So realize this is not Paul saying, you tell them I said. He said, you tell them the Lord said. Amen? So this is what God is saying to Paul, remind them to be put in their place of subjection to those that are there where you live. You and I, our behavior, you ought to remember to behave and be on your best behavior as a Christian because of the place where you live. You're here in this world. It's not your home. You're just passing through, but thank God while you're here, you've got to obey the laws of the land. So first of all, remember your behavior. But second of all, remember your behavior just because of who you live for. As I said, all these things are set up and given by the Lord. I mean, this all comes from God. Remember, you live for him. You should display this. I mean, you should remember that it's God that has ordained powers. God has put kings in places. God has done. And you and I are living for him. You and I are to live for him. Listen to what Paul says about that. He said, Put them in mind. Remind them to be subject to the principalities, the powers, to obey magistrates. Look what he says. To be ready to do every good work. God's expecting me and you to do good works. God is demanding. God is commanding that his people do good works. Amen? That's what he said. Do good works. And notice what he says beyond that. There's a comma there. To every good work, comma, to speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, he says, showing all meekness unto all men. You see that? You and I are to remember who we are here representing, who we live for, and how that we're supposed to be that representative. How are you supposed to do it? Well, first of all, you ought to do it by your words. You see what he says in verse 2? Speak evil of no man. Speak evil of no man. You're not, you and I, you know, we're not supposed to speak evil of anybody. That's a tough thing to swallow sometimes, isn't it? When you know they're wicked, when you know they're wrong. But the Bible said, don't. Amen? You and I are not supposed to do that. But you know what? If you'll remember that when the Bible talks about how that one of the angels stood and rebuked the devil, you know what he said to him? He said, the Lord rebuke thee. I mean, that if you're going to rebuke, so it better be in the Lord's name. It's not up to me and you. Our words, the words that we say, the Bible says, Paul tells them here, you're not supposed to be speaking evil of others. We're not supposed to be gossiping. We're not supposed to be running down. We're not supposed to be blowing them, low rating them. We're not supposed to. He said, don't speak evil of any man. We're not supposed to. Now, I don't tell you. Woo, I get in trouble with that, don't you? Say amen. Shake your head a little bit. Do something. Because we do that, don't we? We say some things sometimes that we shouldn't. And I'm telling you, Paul says right here, your words, whatever words you're speaking, amen. I can remember at my grandmother's house when I was a little kid, there was a little thing on the wall, one of those little, you know, doodads, and it had a little saying on it. It was like a little plate, and it stayed up around her wall. And it says, make the words you say today tender, warm, and sweet, for tomorrow they may well be the words you'll have to eat. Amen? You need to be careful about what you let your mouth say. You know what happens to a lot of us? Our mouths get in motion before our brains get in gear. Say amen right there. We run off and blah, 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 blah. You're not even thinking about what you're saying. And I'm telling you, hey, guilty right here. I've done it. You've done it. All of us. But the Bible says here, the Bible, this is the word of God. Paul says, look, speak evil of no man. You know why I think he said that? Because I think these people in Crete, they had a long history of that sort of thing. They hated their leaders. They were bad-mouthing them. They were against them. They talked about them. They talked down on them. I mean, just everything they could. And he said, you remind them about who they're living for now. It's not for themselves. So be careful with your words. Now, next of all, he said, be careful with your works. Look what he says at the very end of verse number 1. He says, to obey magistrates, but then he says, to be ready to every good work. Let me tell you something. That little phrase, good work or good works, is found in the New Testament 12 times. It's found 12 times in the New Testament. But you know what? It's found 5 times in the book of Titus. And it's found 3 times in this chapter that we're reading right now. We'll run across the idea of good works. You'll say, well, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, your good works should be good because God is empowering me and you by his precious Holy Spirit. We're supposed to do the things that are good, that are godly, that are righteous, and that are right. We're supposed to do those type things. And he says, look, you and I, we're supposed to not speak evil, not to be brawlers, we're not to be, but we're to be gentle, we're doing, and we're to do good works, not evil things, not wicked things, not bad things. You're not supposed to be doing that. Do some good works. Do good works. Don't do all this crazy stuff, all this nonsensical. I'm just telling you, man, the Bible says you ought to be ready. You ought to be ready to do good work. I mean, it ought to be on your heart. It ought to be on your mind. It ought to be in your thought pattern. It ought to be, man, what good thing can I do today to help somebody down this world? How can I tell them about Jesus? How can I honor God? How can I show my love to Him? How can I do some good deed and work for Him? Now, do not get mistaken. Let me tell you this. You are not saved by good works. Amen? You're not saved. I mean, the Bible tells us that. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's by His grace that He's saved. You can't do enough to get saved. You can't do the right thing to get saved. You remember that young man that came to Jesus, and he said, "Good Master, what good thing must I do to be saved?" There's nothing you can do to be saved by your good works. The only way you can be saved is by the grace of God. But I want to tell you this, good works do follow after that. Ephesians 2 and, you know, verses 7, 8, 9, he talks about, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then what does he say in verse number 10? Paul says this. He says, "For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We're supposed to walk in good work. What does that mean? That means that ought to be part of your regular testimony, is that you are doing good, godly, Holy Ghost-filled type work. I mean, you do something that shows the love and the grace and the mercy of God to this lost and dying world. Amen? That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Hebrews chapter number 10. We talk about Hebrews chapter number 10. Most of the time, we're always thinking about verse number 25. He says, "Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is." You're not real far from it in your Bible. If you want to flip over to chapter number 10 and look down where the writer, and I think it's Paul, he's talking about all these things, and he starts in verse number 19. We're not going to get into all of that, but look down at verse number 24, and he's talking about what we're supposed to be doing. And there's, you know, he said, "Let us draw near," in verse 22, "let us hold fast the profession of our faith." Verse 23, he said, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." You and I are supposed to consider each other or think about each other and see how we can provoke each other, he says, or encourage each other, I guess is the way we would say it, unto love. I'm supposed to encourage you in the area and in the way of love, and I'm to encourage you to do good works. And then you pull up that next verse, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We're supposed to be encouraging each other. We're to love each other and provoke somebody to do good works. Don't get anybody and say, "Boy, we ought to just get out here and pitch a fit and rebel and be wicked and tear up everything and set the city on fire, and we're mad about this, we're upset." But I'm going to tell you something, that's from hell, that's from the devil, and brother, it ain't right. Amen? It ain't right at all. That's what the world wants to do. That's how the world says, "Well, let's fix it." That's how the world says, "Well, let's just put on a demonstration." Can I tell you, the Bible said we're to provoke each other to love and to do some good works. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. So Paul says, look, you need to remember and behave your behavior because of where you're living, of who you live for. And he said, it ought to be done just by your ways. Your ways. You ought to show these things. He says that you're showing. He says showing all meekness unto all men. We're to show this thing, and it's to be put forward by the actions of your life. Amen? So remember, Remember your behavior. And then last of all, look at this. Remember your behavior because of what you once was. Listen to what he says in verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Amen? Isn't that the world we live in today? Your behavior should be, or is, changed, has changed, because of what you once were. You see what Paul said we used to be? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, so on and so forth. That's what we used to be. Now, you know, a lot of folks say, oh, well, those people over there in Crete must have been awful wicked before God saved. I want to tell you, a lot of us was awful wicked before God saved us, wasn't we? Our hearts were rotten. Our lives didn't count. We were just the worst thing, I guess we could say, that there was on the face of the earth. Amen. We weren't right with God. Amen. Boy, listen to what Paul says. He says, look, here's what we have all done because we have all been there. I like the fact that Paul says that, right? He says, for we. He didn't say, for you. It's easy for somebody to stand and say, well, you need to straighten up. No, we need to. Why? Because we've all been wicked. Amen. Paul said, Paul, the same Paul that wrote over in the book of Romans and said, there's none righteous, no, not one. He said, all we, every one of us. And Isaiah said, all of we like sheep have gone astray. There's nobody that's doing good. There's nobody that's right. Everybody that's ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus has been wrong and sin-filled. Amen? And we need salvation through him. It's the only way you're going to get it. So Paul says here, we've all been there. We've all been there. How have we been? Well, let's look at the things that he says. You were once faithless. Faithless. Look what he says there. For we ourselves also were sometimes, listen to what he says, foolish, disobedient, and deceived. We didn't have any faith because in our foolishness, it dulled our mind. When you're foolish, you're making decisions, you're thinking things, you're reasoning, and it's with a dulled mind. Your mind is messed up, and you're foolish. Amen? I mean, you are foolish as foolish can be. The book of Proverbs speaks so much about the fool. And the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Amen? The fool believes he can do this and thinks that and does this way. All of these things. Can I tell you, brother, we've all been fools and foolish in our stupid little minds. I mean, we didn't know what in the world. Our thinking and our ways and our action, they were all dulled by some foolish thinking. Foolish, foolish, foolish. I mean, man, foolishness. Foolishness. Faithlessness is evidenced by the foolishness of a dull mind. Also, look what he said, you're disobedient. Amen? Disobedient. I mean, being disobedient is the evidence of a hardened heart. Well, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what they say. I don't care what he wants. I don't care what she says. Huh? You just harden your heart. Amen? Do you know where the original hard heart came from? The devil said, I don't care what God wants. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend above the stars. I will do. And that's what gets us in trouble, is that pride of I. Amen? Me. Oh, I'm number one. Listen, I'm telling you. And then that makes you disobedient. Disobedient. Boy, can I tell you? That's where we are today. We live in a world fraught with disobedience. I ain't gonna have to listen to nobody. Ain't no preacher gonna tell me what to do. Man, y'all ever hear that? Man, our hearts ought to be broken. Our hearts ought to be broken. I'm just telling you. Wickedness all about us. And people as haughty and as proud and as me and my, and I mean self-indulged, man, disobedient. And then he says deceived. He says that we were foolish, disobedient, deceived. You know who's been deceived? Those that are still in sin. They're deceived by their sin, and they're deceived by the devil who is leading them in that sin. Deception. Deception. Oh, it'll be all right. God will take care of you in the end. Nobody dies and goes to hell. Oh, that's a bunch of fairy tales. You don't have to listen to that Bible. Oh, them people down there, there ain't nothing to all that stuff they're saying about salvation. And there's people that are deceived by the droves every day. Deceived. You know what that is? Buddy, that's somebody that has a perverted will. Their will has been perverted by the very devil of hell. I mean, they've got people so messed up, they're deceived. They think, oh, listen, this ain't never going to happen to me. Buddy, can I tell you something? And listen, I don't want to get political, but I was seeing some things about this guy, this Jeffrey Epstein, and you know, whatever you think about that, and I ain't even getting really into the depths of that. But can I tell you something? After he died, whether he hung himself or however that happened, I don't know. When he woke up, I think he woke up in the pits of hell. And let me tell you something. All of whatever went on in his life, he screamed out and said, I was wrong. I was deceived. I was sold pleasure in this life and money and fame and fortune and all of that mess. And I was wrong. Wrong, wrong. Amen? Perverted wills get people into the pits of hell. I mean, and I'm just using that as an example. That's not the only one. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of folks that'll wake up screaming in the horrors of hell because they perverted what would have been the right will of God, and they said, I'm going to do it. Oh, listen, as the old song said, I'm going to do it my way. Buddy, can I tell you, you better learn to do it God's way. Because if not, you're deceived. He said foolish, disobedient, and deceived. I mean, faithless. Well, that's faithless right there. When you don't have any faith in God, you will be foolish, you will be disobedient, you will be deceived. But notice this, not only does he talk about being faithless, he talks about being fleshly. Or, excuse me, filthiness, about having filthiness. Listen to what he says. He says, serving divers lusts and pleasures. That is filthiness. When that's all you want is to satisfy your flesh, satisfy your lusts, and want more and more and more, serving divers lusts and pleasures. I mean, a life that's of corruption, corrupt desires. I'm talking about pushed on by our sin natures, blinded and fooled by them. I'm telling you, people that get into that, you know what? They're never satisfied with what's going on. They want another pleasure and another pleasure and another sin and stack on more. And I need another. Amen? Can I tell you, you go back, you look at some Bible examples. I can tell you, you look at the life of David. And David got into that circular thinking about all of the women and all of the lustful situations in his life, and it never was enough. Isn't it crazy? There was David, and he had wives, and he had women. He had probably a harem at that time, all of these ladies. And then he walks out on his porch that day, and he looks out, and he sees Bathsheba, and he says, I got to have her too. Isn't that crazy? But that's where lust, that's where all of this wickedness, that's where the filthiness of our flesh will get us. Filthiness. I'm talking about just eat up with filthiness. Just fleshly desires. fleshly wanting. I mean, never satisfied in all of those things, just blinded and tempted and fooled and mesmerized by the junk of this world. Do you know what the guy that's got $1 million wants? One more dollar, and then another, and then another. Never satisfied. Never. Never satisfied. Why? Because it's self and flesh driven. It's just filthy, carnal nature. Amen? And listen, Paul says, you remind them, they used to be like that, faithless, their filthiness, and then remind them about their fullness of hostility. Listen to this last part. He said, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. I mean, they're just full of hostility. And you know what malice is? Malice is having this ill feeling. It's a depraved or wickedness and an evil dwelling in your mind. Your mind is continually thinking of wicked, of evil, of ungodly things. I mean, it's wanting to go there, and your mind just rolls over and over and over. Malice, we talk about the word malicious. That's talking about you've sat down and you've thought it. You've planned it. I know there's a legal term that you hear sometimes. They talk about somebody committing murder, but it's not just murder. It's malice or malicious murder. You know what that's from? That's from sitting and thinking about it. Sitting and letting your mind go and wicked and evil and getting there and saying, I'm going to do this. Man, I want to tell you something. It scares me sometimes to turn on the television with some of the stuff that we see nowadays, and you know that's where people's minds are. And you hear some of those reports, and it just makes you sick at your stomach because you know that's where their mind is, malice. But not only that, he talks about malice and envy. You know what envy is? Envy's when you look at somebody that has something. And we think sometimes that it's envy that we want what, well, it is wanting what they got. But it's also that you despise them because they've got it. I mean, you just look at them. They think they're something because they've got, and I wish I had it. I wish that I could have what, and they think that makes them. And that's really what envy is all about. Envy and jealousy are pretty good cousins. But that envy is something that'll eat at you, and it will tell you that you deserve what they've got. And if you could take it from them, and you are disgusted with them because they've got it, you do not like them. You despise them because they've got what they've got. Amen? And you know what that'll do? That'll eat you up. It'll turn you. It'll warp you. It will just absolutely foul your mind up. Envy. And envious of the people that have things. He talks about hateful. Hateful. I'll tell you this, just throwing this in. This is the only time in your Bible that the word hateful is ever used. Hateful. Paul says that you used to be hateful and hating one another. Hateful. Yeah, hateful means detestable, loathsome, despicable. I mean, that's what people are that are hateful. They're, as the very definition of, filled with hate. They're just full up of hate. And, you know, I mean, for the life of me, I don't understand it. I see people today, and they hate some things, and I'm like, why do you hate that? Why do you hate that person? Why do you hate that situation? Why do you hate? It's because the devil's in there and he's eating them up and changing their thinking and getting in their minds, and all of these things are going, and they are hateful. And then notice what he says in the end of it. He said, not only was they hateful, but they hated one another. I mean, unsaved people hate each other. It goes beyond, as I said, just jealousy and envy. It gets into a raging hate. I hate them. Well, that's a pretty strong word to use when you say you hate somebody. I mean, you better measure that. You better think about that. You might ought to ask God, if you start saying stuff like that, do you really hate them? You might not like what they're going to. You know what? The only things that we ought to hate, we ought to hate the things that God hates. There are some things that God hates. Amen? Your Bible will tell you over in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 16, verse number 6, these six things, yea, seven things are an abomination. These six things is God hates. Yea, seven are an abomination. You know what the very first one is? A proud look. Boy, I'm telling you, we ought to go check that list, look in the mirror and check us. See if we've got those things. Because if we're there, man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We need to find out how to have some humility, how to have some love, how to have some of the things that God wants us to have, and get rid of this corruption that's within this flesh. But I want you to notice this, and we'll get into this next week. Paul says there in verse number 4, but, boy, I'm glad there's a transition. After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Woo, he saved. Thank God, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, nothing that we did, but by His grace, by His goodness, by His mercy, and by His love, He saved us out of those places where we used to be. Aren't you glad of that tonight? That He's able to save you from a place called hell. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a song and maybe invite somebody here tonight they need to pray about some things, whatever it may be. Come on and help us out with that tonight if you need to. Find yourself invited and ready to just come and pray this evening. Amen. God wants to do some things, and I'm telling you, we used to be, but aren't you glad? Oh, listen, all that stuff that used to be, it's in the sea of God's forgetfulness now. We're not there anymore. We don't want to be there anymore. He saved us out of that and into His glorious light. Let's stand, if you would, tonight. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? Hey, 362. I'm...